You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast where we're racing at Chester Market Racing, and it's the final day of action at the Galway Festival. That comes to a conclusion as well on Sunday. Join us around 1:20 for coverage of all three meetings with James Millman joined by John Budden and Paddy Aspel for all of Sunday's racing. My name is Sam Norris and Andrew Mount accompanies me on this edition of the podcast to try and identify a couple of winners to round off the week. How are you, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Sam. How are you doing? Good.
Yeah, not too bad at all. I've enjoyed the week of racing thoroughly. Has it been a kind week to you, punting-wise?
Yeah, not too bad, actually. Had sort of good day on second day, just trying to avoid the front runners on the round course. The fourth rail was still in play, and all the winners were coming late and wide down the middle of the track. So that was handy. And
yeah, it was a bit of a graveyard for front runners earlier on in the week.
Yeah, that's right. The ground was just much softer against that rail. Since they've removed the fourth rail, it's not been quite as bad. You can win nearer the far side. And I'm fascinated to see what the draw is going to do in the Stewards' Cup on Saturday. So I've played low draws. I think mine are coming out of stalls 4, 9 and 11. Certainly sort of far side of centre anyway, so if stall 28 beats 27 beats 26, I'll have a long face on Saturday afternoon.
Yes, by the time this podcast goes out, that could either look inspired or rather foolish.
Yep.
Quick word.
Evens each of two.
Yeah, quick word on yesterday. We've got to talk about Batash, Andrew, who was at his electrifying best when winning the King George for a second year in succession. The speed figure boys are purring about this race. I think from 4 out to 3 out, running a furlong in under 10 seconds, which is, even for a sprinter, pretty incredible.
So even I'd be hard-pressed to do that.
Yeah.
No, very impressive. I mean, the thing was, like in the race last year, he was well-drawn, though. It seemed that you didn't want to be hard up against that stand-side rail, so those who were drawn low and were in the middle of the track have enjoyed the best of things in sprints this week. And it was the same last year when he won by over 2 lengths from Profitable in the same race. So he's not. Sprinter's never going to be sort of bomb-proof Frankel style.
Yes.
Because the draw and the pace and missing the break can cost you a lot more in a shorter distance race. And it was good to see Take Cover. The old boy's got plenty of previous in the race, finishing second as an 11-year-old at 20-1. Again, he was drawn in stall 2, so again suggesting that it was the draw was helpful. The fact was he'd have won wherever he was drawn, basically.
Yeah, sure.
We might have just won by 3 lengths instead of 4. Hugely impressive, and looking forward to seeing him in the Nunthorpe next, for which he's 4-5 with us here at William Hill.
Yeah, very much so. And as you mentioned, hats off to Take Cover and Muthmere running a big race in third as well. I'd say the grand old age of 8, but I suppose for a flat horse, that is advancing years.
He raced more towards the stand side coming out of stall 7 in the first time blinkers. And another good runner, good run from a Willie Haggis trained runner this week at Goodwood. He's been doing extremely well.
Yeah, very much so. Let's go on to Sunday's races then. We're going to tackle a couple on the cards at Chester and Market Racing on Sunday, starting with Chester and their 3:30 race. This is a handicap over a mile and a half. Dead 8 runners at the time of recording. Hopefully all 8 stand their ground in this one, as it could well open up some each way options in the race. Where do you go, Andrew?
I'm going to go with Tom Dascombe's runner here, and that's
Silver Character.
Silver Character, yeah, and the first time visor. Now, I was slightly concerned about that because Dascombe hasn't got the greatest strike rate with his first time visored runners, although he did have one win at Bath the other day, rallying once headed. And from stall 3, this one's likely to be given a prominent ride. Now, he was only 8th when the 5-4 favourite at Wolverhampton last time, but the problem that day was the prominent ride. The longer trips at Wolverhampton favour come from behind performers. And you look at that race, the first three home were 40 to 1, 20 to 1, and 66 to 1, and were described as held up in touch, held up, and held up. The fourth and fifth also received the comment held up from the Racing Post's close-up writers. And although eighth, Silver Character actually did second best of those who were up with the pace. So I think you can draw a line through that. And on a track that's going to favour his running style far better than Wolverhampton did, I think on the return to turf in the headgear, from a yard that's doing really well at the moment, 7 winners from 31 runners in the past fortnight, 23%. So, if he gets out in front, he could be hard to pass. Mm. And if he does run well, have a look at Manor Park, who was sixth in that Wolverhampton race again after racing prominently, doing best of the those to chase the strong early pace. And that one's entered at Newbury on Tuesday.
Okay. Silver Carrot to the choice then in that 3:30 race at Chester, a track that Tom Lascombe does do well at. On to market raising then for a bit of jumps action now. The 4:15 is a handicap hurdle, Division 1 of, over 2 miles and a quarter. 10 runners taking their chance in this one. And talk us through your thinking here, Andrew.
Yeah, it's quite simple. It's quite obvious. It's going.
Is it the skeletons?
It's going with. If I had a pound for every time a commentator said another winner for the skeletons this season, I'd have lots of pounds. But the obvious one here is the stable switcher, which is Alize Javelet coming back from a wind-up, wearing a tongue tie for the first time, and making her debut for Dan Skelton, having been with Lucy Wadham previously. Now, she's run well here at Market Raisin before, finishing fourth in a 2.5 mile handicap hurdle here last time out. She drops down slightly in trip. And although people say that the profits have dried up with the system of backing the Skelton runners at the first time of asking for the yard, in handicap hurdles they do extremely well. 27 winners from 84 bets, 32%, plus £28.88 to a £1 level stake, so over a third profit on turnover. And you'd make money every single year backing the handicap hurdlers having their first run for the Skelton yard. And this one might be gambled again, but if you can get on early price the night before, you're probably going to be beating SP, I would suggest.
It could be another one then for the skeletons in that 4:15 race at Market Raisin. Do join us on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. for Market Raisin Chester and the final day of the Galway Festival on Sunday with James Millman, John Budden and Paddy Aspel in tow. Andrew, been a pleasure as always. Thank you for that and best of luck.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.